Heavenly Father, we are very thankful to you for this wonderful Sunday that you are giving to us. As we are ending this week of seminar on financial independence, walking with you. We praise your name, Father, for giving us to be here this morning, coming from different corners of Goma. And we also praise your name for those who are watching online and those who will watch after. We praise your name, Father, because it's a good moment that you have prepared for us to speak to each one of us, Father. Prepare our heart to be ready to receive your word. Father, I'm praying for each one of us here that at the end of this sermon, he may get the blessing, she may get the blessing that you have prepared for us. I'm also committing myself, Father, to you so that you may use me powerfully, Father. I'm just a humble instrument that you want to speak through at this time, Father. We pray so that your Holy Spirit may come and guide us in this time, Father. Thank you, Jesus, because you are with us from now until forever. Amen. So, brother and sisters, good morning. So it has been a very busy week in this parish, and I would like to thank God for the grace that he has given us, for those who have been able to attend all the teaching during the week. So we have been here from Monday through Saturday after introducing the seminar like week. So it was very, very rich of blessing for those who were coming. And personally, I would like to thank God for the grace that he has granted me with being able to be able available and in good health, because I've been working very, very hard as not usual. So I praise God for, thanks to his grace, we have been able to reach the end. So today we are going to end the seminar on financial independence, walking with God. And those who were there last Sunday, we had to introduce this seminar. And as we are beginning, we'll be opening our Bible in Genesis chapter 1, 31. Then the Genesis chapter 2, 15, then the book of Ecclesiastes 11, 6. So I'm going to read quickly because we'll be having a lot of readings during this sermon. Genesis 1, 31, God looked at everything that he had made and he was very pleased. Evening passed and morning came. That was the next sixth day. Genesis 2:15. Then the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and guard it. Then we move to the book of Ecclesiastes. We are going to read from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6, it says this: do your sowing in the morning and in the evening too. You never know whether it will all grow well or whether one sowing will do better than the other. So, brother and sisters, during this week, we have been developing this topic on how, as Christians, we can be able to reach a financial independence life and make it to maintain it throughout all our life. We have found that when we look at the real context of each one of us, we found that it is very difficult to reach the financial independence, whereby for most of us, we feel that our income is not sufficient to cover all our needs. And for some who have been blessed to have a high level income, they are also facing the challenge of having a lot of demands, and they are struggling in how to answer to all the demands. I just had an experience yesterday when we end the seminar. As I was leaving out, I found street children, and they were hungry. They came to, I don't know why they called me pastor, because I used to invite them and buy some thumb snake to them, and they would call me pastor, and I'm not a pastor. And I invited all of them. They were a group, and they were a lady preparing donuts. And I asked the lady to give to each one of them 2 donuts. And I had a budget for donut. Then they say, pastor, we also need milk. Because there were also someone else selling milk. They say, no, I'm sorry, because my current budget is only for donuts. So you can enjoy the donuts, and the milk will come the day when God will plan. So even when you are helping someone, there is still a challenge. When you respond to this need, another need will come. So it is very difficult to reach financial independence and be able to feel that I've satisfied all the demands that is addressed to me. So during the week, we learn from the Bible about some basis regarding financial independence, and this from the Bible. And as we read in Genesis chapter 1, 31, we found that God made everything that was needed so we can live an independent life. Because if you look at Adam and Eve, they had everything needed. They had even more than what they needed. And God gave us the mission in Genesis chapter 2, 15 to multiply. And as we went in the book of Proverbs 6, from 6 to 8, we found that we have failed in this mission. That's why we were invited to go and learn from the ant, and that was a big challenge. So we went through it last Sunday. The second day of our seminar, we learned how to reach and maintain a financial independence life while staying in the way of the Lord. Because we also found that there are so many shortcuts. You know the shortcut. There are so many shortcuts that can bring you to financial independence. But unfortunately, not in the way that pleases to our God. And we know as Christians, we should work for having or reaching financial independence, staying or walking with God. So we found that there are a few steps to go through, 10 steps, so we can be able to reach and maintain financial independence life. The first thing, we have to do a self-assessment of your current financial situation. Set a vision and goals, and take the time to pray for it. Find or develop an activity that generates income. So we found that the opportunity that is given to each one of us is beyond our regular income, is to find out how we can set up an income-generating activity that will help us to increase or to improve our financial income, so we can be closer, or we can reach the financial independence and maintain it. We have to train ourselves in financial education and practice it. We have to be driven by a good financial culture. We have to free ourselves from having the burden of debt, and we found that having so many debts is a burden. So if possible, Christian, we should make effort to live with what we are earning from our own work. We should have a budget culture and maximize our savings. Diversify our source of income, do a good accounting so we can pay correctly our tithe. And we found in the book of Malachi 3:10 that we should be faithful in tithing. Then in Matthew 3:33, we should first seek for the kingdom of God, and those other things will be given to us. So, brothers and sisters, these are the few steps that you can write down and go through. So, we are trying to do our best to make this available so you can go through it even after. And I was blessed to have interaction with so many people who were saying that they are willing to go and practice this. And I'm very convinced that at a given level, this is going to bring a certain revival in our life, in the way of managing our financial resources. So we saw then some factors which promote financial independence, and there are a key lessons that we found. The first thing is the personal belief. Our personal belief can bring us to live in the direction or in the opposite direction of financial independent life. The low level of faith. So we should have a faith when we want to undertake a given activity, because we found from the book of Matthew chapter 25 from the third servant that got one talent, that he had the fear to invest his talent. So some of us are fearing because they fear the risks. So we should have also faith when we want to engage in undertaking income generating activity or any activity that will help us to improve our income. So we also have the culture, family context, personal discipline, lack of knowledge in financial education, the macro economy context. So we tried to introduce this last Sunday. So on the third day of our seminar, we went deep in this book of Ecclesiastes 11:6, where we found that Christians should work hard. And the Bible says that we should work hard from early morning to late evening. From early morning to late evening. And we even found that time is the common resources that we have been given equally. No one can complain that he has been given less time than others. So your success in practicing this will also depend on your discipline in how you manage your time. We all have 24 hours, so it depends on how you manage your time. We got so many lessons, we said it before, from the book of Proverbs 6:11, learn from the wisdom of ants, because those ants are very small insects, but they have the wisdom to work hard. And the character of the ants is that they work hard. They are very, very small. If you take time to observe them, you can go on Google and search a documentary on ants. You will find how they work hard. And they are very small. I remember last Sunday we say, how big should be the brain of an ant compared to the size of our brain? It may be billion of times. So this is a big challenge, so it means that we have no excuse. So we should go and practice. In the book of Exodus 20:25, we found that if possible, Christians should help each another with some financial support without asking interest. So I may be blessed with enough financial resources. So in my bank account, I have money without any plan to use it in the coming 5 years. And next to me, there is a brother who has started a business and he's struggling to develop his business. Or he's struggling to meet or to cover his expenses and he needs someone to support him for a while. So if we are blessed in that way, so the Bible is recommending us not to charge interest among us Christians. So the fourth day of our seminar, we went through some biblical basis for entrepreneurship because some people asked me a question. We all have to be entrepreneurs. And this question may be addressed to you this morning. Do we all have to be entrepreneurs? So we have the response in the Bible in Genesis 2:15. The Bible says that we got the mission, a double mission. First, to cultivate. And in the word cultivate, we found that it's a common commitment for all of us here to make sure that we are also multiplying something. And if you are granted to have a good salary, make sure that beyond your salary, you are doing something that is making multiplication. And we found so many examples about how we can also be multiplication agents as God gave us this mission in Genesis 2:15. We have so many options. You just look at what is needed in your context and find out how you can start producing. For us who are here, who are in DRC, even if you are an international, you are also allowed to have a small poultry farm at your home. It is not forbidden, isn't it? It is not forbidden for an international to have a garden and grow your vegetable. So growing vegetable, you will be doing multiplication, or to grow flowers. I appreciate because now there are some supermarket that is bringing the catch of buying flowers, and I'm one of the flowers customer because I used to offer natural flowers, and it's very expensive when you want to offer to someone natural flowers. So you can plant flowers. You can buy two dogs, a female and a male, and do multiplication, and you get a lot of money when they give birth. You can buy a car and go and see the pastor. You have a driver who is jobless, so he can drive this as a taxi. You can do it as an international or a Congolese citizen, because it's an international service. And also back home, you can do something, planting trees, or doing a farm, growing maize, and so on. So we have so many options. And for those who don't want to deal with the environment, we also have a digital option. And we found that there is a big need, even among those who started their business, so they need also management tools. So if you are an ICT expert, you also have many options. So the answer is that every one of us should make sure that you are doing something to be an agent of multiplication. And if you want to be advised on how you can proceed, so the church has been blessed to have so many expect. I'm not the one, only one. We have so many here. I don't mention the name because I didn't get the permission. But there are so many here who can give you advices on how you can proceed. We also found from the book of Genesis 30, 20 to 27 to 30, This is the story of Jacob and his father-in-law. So let me open Genesis 30. Let us go through it quickly. Genesis 30 from 27 to through 30. We read this. Laban said to him, "Let me say this. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Name your wages, and I will pay them." Jacob answered, "You know how I have worked for you and how your flocks have prospered under my care. The little you had before I came has grown enormously, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I went. Now it is the time for me to look out for my own interest." In other version, it says to work for me. So here we have the story of someone who got an opportunity to fix his salary. So we have Jacob, who had to work for his father-in-law to get the wife, you know, Rachel and Leah. And after the 14 years, so the father-in-law wanted him to stay. And Jacob was like a manager, was helping his boss to develop his business. But we found that Jacob took a very hard decision to leave and go to start his own personal business, if we can put it in that context. And Jacob was given an opportunity to fix himself the wage that he wanted to get. How many of us we have got that opportunity that you want to resign from your job, from your position, so you can start your own activity, and your boss is telling me what you want me to fix yourself. Fix yourself, and I will give. I know we haven't yet got this kind of opportunity. But Jacob was able to say, "No, I want to go and work for myself." Indeed, he took what he deserved to get from the work that he did. But then for the rest of the time, he said, "I want to go and work for myself." And we found the result of this. In Genesis 30:43, read this quickly. "In this way, Jacob became very wealthy. He had many flocks, servants, camels, and donkeys." So Jacob became very rich thanks to this decision that he took to work for himself. So it means that there are a lot of things to get when you decide to engage in this in entrepreneurship. I'm not asking you to resign. But we said during the week that the work that you have now, the position that you are occupying now, is an opportunity that God has given to you to get experience and get starting capital. So in the coming days, you can start your own activity. Before ending, the fifth day, we went through some steps and principles that will help us to succeed in entrepreneurship under a biblical approach. I won't be reading the biblical verses because of time, because we are almost out of time. So first principle is from the book of Matthew 25:25, is to overcome the fear and make the decision to start. I know some of us are struggling in starting something because of this. We have the fear. We have so many questions, as we see on the image. We have so many questions. Is it going to work? Do I have experience? So we have so many questions and fear. So we should overcome this if you want to start something as an income-generating activity, or start an activity that will help you to improve your financial situation. Second, take the time to analyze and plan before you start. And we got it from the book of Luke 14:28. It says if you want to build a tower, you have to sit and do a self-assessment if you have all the resources that are required to go until the end. Three, we should save time because we have good ideas and we are keeping them and we are wasting time. So save time. If you have a good idea, go and start something by the end of this year. Four, always start in small format with your own means, driven by a big vision, and develop gradually with the experience that you have got from what you are doing. And we got this from Luke 16:10. If you are faithful in very small things, we also be faithful in big things. Five, properly structure and organize your project using ICT tools for efficient management. We found that as Christians, we are now having trouble with some of our brothers and sisters who are doing manual work because they are not respecting the deadline. When you order something, it is not given in the time that you have requested. So we should use ICT tools to have efficient management. And this is a big opportunity for those who are ICT experts. Six, be surrounded by the right people, workers, and collaborators, advisors, and treat them well. So we should make sure that we are paying the good wage to those who are working for us. Seven, practice good management and be a good role model to your entire team. Eight, do not disconnect from the Christian principles in the development of your project. And these books of Proverbs, you found that we should make sure that the way we are paying people who work for us, we are doing justice. What is justice? It's when I'm earning $10,000 in my business, and I'll make sure the person who is managing the business, or the people who are developing the business, are very comfortable with what they are paid, because they are aware of what they are generating for me. Good accounting for correct tithing. We found that it's very difficult for many business people to do correct tithing because they don't know even how much money they are earning at a given period, monthly, at the end of a year. So if you are doing business and you are struggling to know how much you are earning, we say that you can do it easily, calculating your expenses and take the 10% of what is the total of your expenses. Sixth day, as we are ending to, we are going to the end, know how to manage prosperity and not live the way of the Lord. We found that from these teachings, for those who will practice, they are going to prosper. And we have so many promises from God's word. In Deuteronomy 28:12, God has promised us to prosper if we remain attached to him. In Matthew 6:33, God said, seek first for the kingdom of him, and all these things will be given to us. What do we learn from this? As we are praying for having a financial independent life, so we are seeking financial independence. For those who will be honest with God, asking for forgiveness for the failure and making a new commitment, God will make this happen in your life. But as you will prosper, there is another challenge. How do I behave here when I'm blessed? And we ask the question here, how many choir members, when you become a millionaire, and you're still coming to sing? How many deacons, how many church elders, as you become a billionaire and you're still playing your role in the church. We found some, they get excuse. Rather than going to church, they go to play tennis. They go to golf club. They say it's now the current style. So God is inviting us to remain in his way and be attached to his word as he's preparing us to this way, life of financial independence. Before we end, Matthew 5:5-9, we learn that no matter how much we will prosper, let us be humble, have thirst and hunger for justice. Let us be doers of justice. Let us be merciful. And merciful is what? Is when you give someone money and he's failing to give back. Not because he's willing, but he has got problem. Should we be merciful also to them? We found that some Christians are also going to the tribunal against another Christian because he owes his money. He owes him money. So this is a sin. So the Bible is inviting us to be merciful to people who have been blessed through us. And so they can also feel discharged from that burden because we have been merciful to them. Let us have a pure heart and let us be those who bring peace. From Joshua 1:7, we got this. Do not deviate from the way of the Lord and act faithfully according to his word. We will succeed in all our projects. So these are real promises. But the challenge is this. How are we taking this as real promises for ourselves? We found that God's promises, they are like keys. If you have a key to drive a car, you choose whether to use it or not. So it's up to us to use these keys of God's promises so we can have this be a reality in our life. How to manage prosperity? 5. Surround ourselves with people who fear God. 6. Always remember where we came from. We found that so many people who have been very active in the church, as they are being blessed, they forget where they are from. And they change the behavior, they change the network. As we say, rather than going to the church, they go to golf club, they go to the tennis club, and so on. Before ending, in Malachi 3:10, this is also a promise. God says, challenge me, give the tithe, correct tithing, and I will double the blessing. And we found that as God is blessing you, he's blessing you gradually. He gives you 1,000, he finds how are you faithful in giving tithe. If you are faithful, he go to 2,000, 10,000, and 1 million. And the challenge was, how many of us will be able to give the correct tithe when God will give you a net income of $1 million per year? We are struggling. We got the message in the WhatsApp group of the church. We need just something less than $5 this week. And I'm sure there are people who got money during the week. I pray that God may give us the wisdom to give correct tithe. And as even we become millionaire, we may remain faithful. And God will bring you to 100 million, even billion. Some of the billionaires, when you talk to them, they are very, very kind people in giving. They are very, very merciful people. So, brothers and sisters, may God help us to practice this word and the blessing. Because we have got from God. So let us also be merciful and be justice do us. So may God help us to practice this word. And as we practice this word, may God help us not only to improve our financial situation, but also to help those who surround us, those God has put on our way. And let us also be able to be very supportive to the God's mission. So as we will be blessed, the church can be also blessed. May God bless His word and bless us. Amen.